Welcome to a special voice of the public. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. Today, our special guest is U.S. Senator Tom Udall, Democrat from New Mexico. Senator Udall will take your calls and social media questions to address the issues that are important to you. Join us for the next hour for a town hall conversation on Voice of the Public with U.S. Senator Tom Udall. How is the U.S. Senate working on issues that affect you, from gun control, terrorism, immigration reform, and the election? What's on your mind for Senator Tom Udall? We'll take your calls at 575-646-2212. Simon Thompson is standing by the social media desk to take your questions or comments on Facebook and Twitter. Is the Senate doing enough to combat the Zika virus? What is the Senate doing to address campaign finance reform? These are some of the questions we'll be asking Senator Tom Udall today, along with your questions on Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. Voice of the Public after the news. U.S. Senator Tom Udall has been the senior senator from New Mexico since January 6, 2009. He was previously the representative for New Mexico's 3rd Congressional District from 1999 through 2008. Senator Udall sits in various committees and subcommittees, including Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe, the Senate Committee on Appropriations, and the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. In May 2014, Senator Udall was instrumental in working with President Obama and local organizations to establish the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument. Senator Udall, good afternoon, and welcome to KRWG and Voice of the Public.
Good morning, Edmundo. Great to be with you, and always enjoy visiting with all of your listeners out there.
Well, we are happy to have you here because there is so much going on in the Senate and just news-wise across the country that we wanted to have a town hall meeting with you so you can talk to our listeners, which are your constituents, to let them know what kind of work you are doing. And one of the first things I want to bring up is one of the questions that's constantly brought up or criticisms of the Senate is that there's no bipartisanship going on in the Senate. But yet, last month, you, in cooperation with Republican Senator David Vitter of Louisiana, got together and brought some important legislation that was recently signed by President Obama. You want to talk about that?
Oh, I'd love to talk about that. And you're absolutely right. The people feel that there's a lot of gridlock and bickering, and we just focus on party issues rather than focusing on the people. But in this case, Senator Vitter and I joined together about 3 years ago to start working on a bipartisan chemical safety law. And the reason we did that is the chemical safety law in the United States was completely broken. I mean, people were not being protected by the agency that was given that authority under the law. And you know, most Americans believe that if they can buy a product at the grocery store or the hardware store, the government has tested it and determined that it's safe. But that isn't true. There's no cop on the beat testing chemicals to make sure they're safe, even the ones in your home. And my bill, which I worked with on Senator Vitter, which the president signed into law last week, finally puts a cop on the beat to keep children and families safe from dangerous chemicals. People have called it the most significant environmental reform in a generation. And this new law is a huge victory for health and safety, especially for pregnant women, infants, children, and workers who are most at risk. And that's why groups like the March of Dimes worked on it with me, and it will help prevent cancer and birth defects and ensure we have critical information about how the chemicals around us impact our health. And we live today with many chemicals around us and in our products, and I'm just glad that we stood up this federal agency to do the work of chemical safety.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. If you have a question for U.S. Senator Tom Udall, that is the number to call. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. Simon is standing by, ready to take your questions or comments on Facebook and Twitter. Senator Udall, you know, the bipartisanship that came about with this particular bill really came through for you. What does it take, or what will it take, to find additional cooperation between senators on many issues that are affecting America today?
Well, I came here to get things done for New Mexicans and for the American people, and the way you get things done is maybe work with people that you don't have a lot in common with. Some people called Senator Vitter and I an odd couple, but we just decided when it came to chemical safety and our families and children being safe from dangerous chemicals that we could work together and work through the problems. The other lesson here is when you do a major environmental bill, you need to get everybody at the table and keep them at the table, keep them working on bipartisan reform, and that's what we did here. We had the industry at the table, we had environmental groups, we had public health groups, the Environmental Protection Agency gave us expert advice, we had lawyers at the table that worked in this particular area, and we had state attorneys general who care a lot about public safety and the law in this particular area. So keep them at the table, keep them working together. We had times where we just thought we'd completely failed, where it was blown up, and there was a lot of accusations, but we said, let's stick in here, let's work through this. It's hard work, it's difficult work, and yet it's very gratifying at the end. And when I stood at the White House with the president at the signing, I couldn't have been more proud of the work that the Senate and the House and all these bipartisan senators and representatives did on this bill.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. If you have a question for Senator Tom Udall, Senator, we have a call on the line. We're going to go to Mark, who's got a question or comment on guns. Mark, good afternoon, and welcome to Voice of the Public.
Yes.
What's your question, sir?
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Fine, Senator. Thank you for taking
Good.
Our question today.
You bet.
I'm particularly concerned right now with specifically all the talk about the no-fly list and access to guns. What is being lost here is Fourth and Sixth Amendment rights of people in regard to our Second Amendment rights. I was wondering if you could address that for us today.
Oh, I'd love to address that. And I first of all want to say that I support the Second Amendment, which protects an individual's right to have a gun for their own protection, for the protection of their family, for the protection of their property. That's something that New Mexicans care a lot about, and I always have supported the ability of New Mexicans to do that. But the other issue here is gun safety, and how do we deal with all these shootings we're seeing across the country? We've even seen some in New Mexico, not the ones with many, many losses of life. And those shootings, you know, these mass shootings have shocked and saddened all of us, and they've shed light on loopholes in our gun laws and deep problems in the availability of mental health care. As you know, some of the people out there that have done these shootings have severe mental health problems, and I support the rights of law-abiding New Mexicans, and I also support the piece of legislation, we call it Denying Firearms and Explosives to Dangerous Terrorists. That's the name of the bill, and it would allow the FBI to block the sale of a weapon to a known or suspected terrorist. And this law would have allowed law enforcement to prevent the sale of guns to Omar Mateen based on his history. And so I also support increasing background checks and limiting access to high-capacity magazines. Congress should enact these measures and reduce violent gun crimes while upholding the traditions of responsible gun owners in New Mexico and across the nation. So that's my position, Mark, and happy to visit more with the listeners about it here.
Senator Udall, it seems that each time after one of these mass shootings, the Senate, you know, should it be a controversy to bring up gun legislation as it seems to be? Why does it have to be so controversial to bring up gun legislation?
Well, unfortunately, we have some of these organizations out there that have made it a goal to not get anything done on guns at all, even though I think 90% of the American people and probably 90% of New Mexicans feel there are areas we could make progress, that we could abide by the protections that are in the Constitution, but also support background checks. You know, we've put in the law for a long time that a convicted felon shouldn't have a gun. We put in the law for a long time that if you're mentally ill and adjudicated mentally ill, you shouldn't have a gun. Why shouldn't we put provisions into the law to make those a reality? 40% of the gun sales are outside of the background check process. We could easily close that loophole and make sure that these dangerous criminals who have problems that have already been indicated on their record, that they shouldn't be able to get guns. And it's really unfortunate to see the National Rifle Association and several others of these organizations just taking a rigid position and not working on this. And that's just, to me, very, very unfortunate. And as I said when I was talking earlier about doing legislation, they should come to the table and work with us and say, you know, we know they support people's gun rights under the Second Amendment, but the Supreme Court has interpreted and said that gun safety measures are acceptable. And these are the kinds of things that we want to do. For example, when we say if you're a terrorist and you're on the no-fly list, you can't buy a gun. That's just common sense to me. If you have somebody in the United States, they're on a no-fly list, you allow the Attorney General to make judgments on that, and you also put in due process so that if they're on a no-fly list and they shouldn't be on a no-fly list, they can get off the list. But to me, this is just common sense. It seems to me the way to go here.
Okay, Senator Udall, we have another call on the line, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, to join us for a conversation with Senator Tom Udall on Voice of the Public. We are also taking your questions on Facebook and Twitter. Let's go to Bob, who wants to talk about the VA. Tom, good afternoon, and welcome to Voice of the Public.
Thank you for taking my call.
Is this Bob?
Senator Udall.
Yes, yes.
I've been going to in El Paso for about 15 years now, and I noticed that there's a new it came out and was published yesterday, looked into how the VA was improving since the appointment scandal took place, and
Bob, you seem to be breaking up.
I'm sorry.
Can you get to the question?
Yeah. Could you address the inquiry that was published yesterday about the results of the investigation on the VA?
Yes. Yes. Bob, thank you very much. And let me just tell you from the start, the veterans are a top priority of mine. I serve on the Appropriations Subcommittee. We've been fighting every year to make sure that the dollars are there for veterans' disability, that they bring down the wait lines, that they do all of that. And you've mentioned the recent report. I believe the one you're talking about has to do with the scheduling scandal that occurred in our regional office. And I was the one that called for the investigation of the Veterans Administration for this whole scheduling scandal. And it ended up that we were getting information to our office. There were some whistleblowers that were calling us. And we very appropriately, I think, turned that information over to the Inspector General. The Inspector General investigated and concluded that there were serious, serious problems with the way they were handling scheduling. They were misrepresenting to veterans some of the status of how they were scheduled. People have been disciplined for this, and it was a very welcome report to come out by the Veterans Administration, and I'm just proud that we stood tall with those whistleblowers that were letting us know what the problems were that going on. Since then, I have met with the new head. He's been there a little bit over a year. His name's Andy Welch. He's the head of the veterans operation in New Mexico. He's there in Albuquerque at the Veterans Hospital. He's given me a full briefing on all the actions they've taken in order to correct what happened at the Inspector General's office. And he's been working on this hard. He was brought in as a new face and a fresh person to this issue, and he's been very aggressive at trying to correct things.
Senator Udall?
Thank you for that question. And please, if any veteran is out there, if you have a problem that already is being worked on by a member of the congressional delegation, then you should continue working with them. But if you have an issue that you're just having a serious problem with and you're not being helped by a member of the delegation, you can call my office, and we have caseworkers that work with you to try to resolve issues. And Edmundo, I'm going to pull together a number here in a minute so we can tell everybody what to call.
Okay, that's fine. We'll give out that number, and we'll also post it on our social media page.
Okay, thank you.
575-646-2212. Welcome to Voice of the Public. Let us join Simon Thompson, who is standing by the social media desk, taking questions and comments. Simon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So I've got Adrienne in Cloudcroft over Facebook. She says, I'm very concerned about lead in our drinking water. My town had 30% of its water samples exceed 15 parts per billion in lead. What is being done about lead in our drinking water?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it really goes to, in many ways, what I did on toxic chemicals in this legislation that we just passed and the president just signed. We have got to get the chemicals out of the air, the water, the chemicals that surround us in our products, and we've got to put a tough agency in charge, a cop on the beat, really, to make sure that the safety testing and safety reviews are done. And that's true with lead. Now, lead can be, you can be exposed to lead from old paint that had lead in it. I think they banned lead in newer paints. It can be in some building materials, and it can also be in the water. And the real problem with lead in the water is you need to do everything you can at the level you're at, and we try to give help at the federal level, but to get the pipes in a place where the lead isn't leaching out of the pipes into the water system and people are getting that. And the biggest danger is to young people. This can cause neurological damage to young people. It can set them back significantly. Their development of their brain can be impacted. One thing we're trying to do, in addition to set up this top federal agency that would be able to review these kinds of cases, is to make sure that they local communities have the dollars they need to put new infrastructure in place that doesn't have lead in the pipes. Also, additional things can be put into place working with the water company and the supply of water to make sure that lead pipes that are there don't leach it. But we've got to address our infrastructure. There's no doubt about it. And we have pipes in this country, all over the country, that are very old. And what we're going to need to do is put the resources in place to go out and replace those pipes and make them much safer for our children and for our families.
Okay, Simon, you've got another question?
I've got a question from Flynn through feedback for KRWG's email. Our Mexican wolves are in dire straits. There are only about 100 in the wild. Biologists say releases of more wolves from the captive population are urgently needed to improve the genetic health of the wild population and prevent them from going extinct. Yet the state of New Mexico has sued to prevent such releases. Senator Udall, what are you doing to ensure more wolves are released in time to rescue the wild Mexican wolf population?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. And I have real concerns about the New Mexico Game and Fish Department's actions to undermine the Endangered Species Act. And I've encouraged the Fish and Wildlife Service to do what is necessary under the law to recover the Mexican gray wolf, but also encourage them to continue to work with the state of New Mexico. I believe in the importance of finding cooperative solutions to protect our environment and ensure the needs of private citizens, business, and agriculture are respected at the same time. And we'll wait to see how this current lawsuit plays out. It's a shame, though, that it had to come to this. There are lines we must not cross with environmental laws, and my role as the lead Democrat on the Appropriations Subcommittee on the Interior and Environment, I've made it clear that we won't gut environmental laws, such as the Endangered Species Act, to pass spending bills. And I introduced an amendment in the Senate Appropriations to strip the bad policy riders in the bill, one of which aimed to override court rulings protecting certain populations of gray wolves and flat out blocked any future judicial review. So we're encouraging the state of New Mexico to work with the Fish and Wildlife Service, try to work through these issues. Unfortunately, they're in a lawsuit, and we're going to keep encouraging them because we believe many of these endangered species issues can be resolved and worked through. You just need the determination to do it.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 to join us on the conversation with U.S. Senator Tom Udall, Democrat from New Mexico. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter, where Simon Thompson is standing by. We've got a call from Richard. Richard, good afternoon, and welcome to Voice of the Public.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon.
My concern, and that of a lot of my friends, is the ineffectiveness of Congress is due to the elite political class that we have created against George Washington's wishes. And what happens, I believe, is that people get elected to office, and their only concern is not to serve, but to get reelected. And I would like to know your position on term limits and also gerrymandering of congressional districts. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you very much. And that is a great question, and it's one of the big things that faces us as a nation right now. Our institutions in a democracy need to be rejuvenated. We need to go back to the idea, just like you're talking about, of the people's voices really mattering. And so I'm part of an agenda back here called the We the People Reform Agenda of our political institutions. These political institutions shouldn't be ruled by elites. These political institutions should work for the people. Let's give you a couple of examples here, some of these that you've raised. Gerrymandering. I've sponsored a bill that said the line should be drawn for congressional districts by independent commissions rather than people that are drawing the lines to try to get votes. And we have that happening all over the place, and we've seen in places like Iowa and Arizona and some other states where the independent commissions draw the lines for congressional districts. It's a much better way to go, and I look forward to working to get that bill passed through the United States Senate. Another thing that's really troubling people is the amount of money in politics nowadays. It's overwhelming, and it tends to corrupt the whole political situation. I'm the lead co-sponsor of the constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United. That was the Supreme Court decision that just opened the floodgates of wealthy money getting into the system, corporate money getting into the system. And the really bad thing is that dark money, which means we don't even know where it's coming from. It can be given to an organization, put into a super PAC, and then you look and try to find, well, who's really paying for those television ads the super PAC is running? And in many cases, hundreds of millions of dollars is not able to be tracked down, not able to be found as to what the source is, and that's just completely undermining our democracy. So I believe that citizens should vote, and they should vote every single election. That's the way to turn people out of office. If they're not doing a good job, you know, a House member comes up every 2 years. All of our state offices are up every 4 years. Some of our local offices up every 2 years, and senators are up every 6 years. But if you get out and vote, if you see somebody that is saddling up to the elites, somebody that doesn't represent the people, you should let others know and vote against them. I mean, that's what democracy's all about. So you should look up the We the People agenda for reform. It's something that we're fighting for here in the Senate. It's already on a preliminary basis been adopted in the draft Democratic platform that's going to the convention. And we're fighting hard for this, and we're going to have a vote for it on the floor. We're going to have a vote on the Senate floor in September on this agenda. And I hope you look it up a little more. And if you have any problem finding it, just let my office know. In respect to that, I just want to make sure, Edmundo, we give you those numbers for people to be able to call our office on veterans issues or other issues. Our Albuquerque office is 505-346-6791. Our Las Cruces office, which may be the closer one for some of your listeners, is 575-526-5475. And if you didn't get those down, Edmundo said he's going to put it up on the website, and you'll be able to hunt it down there. And you can also, our numbers are in all the phone books and in the local communities, and just look us up and give us a call. We're happy to work with anybody that has an issue with the federal government, and you know, that can be a immigration issue, can be a Social Security issue, a veterans issue, those kinds of things. Give us a call.
Okay. U.S. Senator Tom Udall, Democrat from New Mexico, is our guest today on Voice of the Public. Good afternoon. I'm at Edmundo Resendez, 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Or you can join us on Facebook and Twitter if you have a question or a comment for U.S. Senator Tom Udall on today's special Voice of the Public. We have Carrie standing by. Carrie, good afternoon and welcome to Voice of the Public.
Good afternoon, Edmundo. Good afternoon, Senator. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day.
Oh, you bet.
I appreciate all that you've done to champion the great things for New Mexicans. The question I have for you today, Senator, is what is your view on the administration's rule last week to close the loophole that coal companies use to sell coal they mine to their own subsidiaries, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, at below market rates? My understanding is through that practice, coal companies have really kind of cheated taxpayers out of billions in royalties paid on that coal, and it sounds like something that we should actually applaud the Department of Interior for doing. Am I correct?
You are correct, Carrie. I urge the Department of Interior to take this action. We have off of federal lands coal being recovered, money owed to the federal government to the tune of tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. That's lost money to the federal treasury. And the Secretary of Interior has taken action to sort that out and make sure that the public gets what it's owed in terms of those coal royalties. And so I support that action. I've supported it before it came out and urged her to take it, and I support it, what she's doing right now.
Okay, let's take a call from Jack. Jack, good afternoon. Welcome to Voice of the Public. You're on with Senator Tom Udall.
Okay. I'm starting to get real tired of making our state, our nation, more business friendly. I'd like to hear something that sticks up for the rights of the workers and makes the state and the nation more union friendly to protect the workers.
Senator,
What
is the status of unions in our country? As you know, in Wisconsin and other states, governors have worked to weaken unions.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there's been efforts in New Mexico. There have been efforts across the country to pull away the ability of working people to collectively bargain. I mean, one of the really important things that has made our country a better place for working families is having the ability of people to join up in a union and collectively bargain to make things better. And think for a minute, over the last half century or so, the things that have been accomplished with collective bargaining. We've outlawed child labor, We had some really horrible conditions where children were being forced to work. Those children probably should have been in school, but they were forced into the workplace. We've had the minimum wage, which was instituted because of efforts by working people to say, why don't we have a minimum wage and at least have a floor on wages? And that's been raised over time because of collective bargaining. We have a lot of workplace situations where, we talked earlier about chemicals. OSHA, which protects working people in the workplace, was put in and pushed for by many of the people that joined collectively to collectively bargain. So there's a lot of things going on out there that I support. I want to tell you, too, that there are a number of ways to work for workers. You got the minimum wage, you got fair pay for women, equal pay for women. That's something that I think really makes a difference for working people. You have child care assistance. I've always supported legislation and dollars to go to child care. We should strengthen Social Security. You know, that makes the middle class strong, is having a Social Security system in place. And we need to make health care better quality and more affordable for our citizens. And then the final thing I just want to hit is you know, these trade agreements that have been negotiated haven't helped us in many circumstances. And I've been fighting to make sure that when we enter into trade agreements, that our workers in the United States are going to get a good deal for it. And so I have opposed this, what's called the TPP, which is the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because I don't think we did the hard bargaining that needed to be done to protect our workers here in the United States. And it doesn't mean that I don't want to work with business. I mean, at the beginning of the question here, we talked about business-friendly and pro-business. I mean, I try to work with the business people and the working people, and if there are disputes, I've been really successful at getting them to work together and propose solutions to some of the problems we have there. So we should do everything we can to be increasing and uplifting the middle class here in America, which has been hit very hard in the last 10 to 15, 20 years.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. We are talking to U.S. Senator Tom Udall, Democrat from New Mexico. Senator Udall, in regards to the minimum wage, much talk has been brought up of bringing the minimum wage up to $15 nationally. Are you in favor of that?
What I have said about the minimum wage is I believe that we're stuck for the last 7.5 years at $7.25. And we haven't had a way to move that up because the Congress hasn't acted. And to just show you how frustrated the people of New Mexico are, we've had our three biggest cities raise the minimum wage significantly above the $7.25 that's the national minimum wage. Santa Fe's up near about $11 an hour. I think Albuquerque's at about $8.25, $8.50. And Las Cruces has recently put their minimum wage to be moving up in the $10 to $11 range. So that shows you that at the local level, with local officials elected by the people, they're saying we need a higher minimum wage. And so I'm going to work with the business community and many of the others out there to see that we get it raised to a significant degree. If you just raised it in terms of cost of living, I think you'd get from about $7.25 to about $12 an hour. And so we'll
many studies have shown that.
We'll see if we can get it up in that range. I mean, usually what's happened is we try to find a compromise, and I support the people out there that are saying, you know, let's push hard and let's get it raised significantly over $7.25.
575-646-2212. Welcome to Voice of the Public with Senator Tom Udall. Let us go to our social media desk where Simon Thompson is standing by. Simon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Michelle from Las Cruces posted on Facebook, I want to know if Senator Udall is endorsing Hillary Clinton. Also, why or why not?
Yes. That's a great question, and we're in a presidential year, and you have every right to ask me about the two folks that are running. I've known Hillary Clinton for a very long time. I've known Bill Clinton. I think there are people that have made a significant impact in improving people's lives. One of the things that I really admire in terms of our economy and the middle class and growing an economy is seeing that under Bill Clinton's 8 years, 22 million jobs were created. We had the same kind of record here. I think we're up to about 14 million jobs under President Obama. And I think that Hillary Clinton would continue that trend. One of the things I talked about earlier in the program was reforming our democratic institutions. Hillary Clinton has announced that she's supporting the reform, the We the People agenda reform, which is reforming gerrymandering, reforming the overturning Citizens United, trying to get everybody that's holding us back from being the people that we really want to be. And so, yes, I'm supporting her, and I believe she would make a very good president. And I can just tell you, and I don't say this to trash anybody, but I don't think that Donald Trump is fit to be commander in chief. I just feel strongly about that, and I think the best choice will be Hillary Clinton to be president in this year, and I'm going to be working hard for her.
Simon, you've got a follow-up?
We have Lucas in Las Cruces. He tweeted, what can be done to get the president's nominee for the Supreme Court confirmed during the next few months?
Well, that's a terrific question, and it highlights one of the questions that was asked earlier, because President Obama tried to resolve some of the immigration problems with his DACA program. The Supreme Court doesn't have the ninth member, and the Supreme Court was unable to address this issue. And we have this extraordinary situation. It's never happened before, unprecedented, where the leaders of the Senate, it's the Senate that approves Supreme Court nominees, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, announced a year before the end of President Obama's term that he wasn't going to even meet with President Obama's nominee, Judge Merrick Garland. He wasn't going to hold a hearing, and he wasn't going to have a vote. And the American people, by overwhelming numbers, think that the Republicans in the Senate should do their job. They should address this nominee that's been put up. They can do all the things I said. They can meet with him. They can hold hearings. And they can vote however they want, but they should at least take a vote. And from everything I can tell, this is a good, solid judge. And to just tell you two things about him, and you're going to learn this when and if a hearing takes place. This is a judge that worked in law enforcement before he was a judge on the court. He was beloved by the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing. He was in charge of that bombing. He was at the Justice Department. He was sent out and lived out in Oklahoma City. And he made sure that the victims, many of them the parents who lost children in that daycare center, that they were informed as to why it was taking time and what the court rulings were. So he knows law enforcement. He knows real people. He's a good person like that. And the other thing is, and nobody knew this until he was nominated. I mean, he, in his 18 years on the court here in Washington, he spent time every week tutoring a young person in high school in the District of Columbia. And so, in addition to his busy court schedule, he would go outside the courts and into the schools to tutor an individual. He'd work with a principal and say, find someone that I can tutor and mentor, and I'm going to work with them. So that shows you the quality of person that President Obama's put forward. And I'm going to do everything I can. I've met with him. I've told him about New Mexico. I've told him about our issues. And we're deadlocked right now because Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, has said, I'm not going to meet with President Obama's nominee, I'm not going to hold a hearing, and we're not going to have a vote. And so we just keep pushing, and that's part of this election now. It's the choice. Somebody asked me earlier about this presidential election year. If they don't hold a vote, if you don't put pressure on them to have a vote, Donald Trump may pick the next nominee to the Supreme Court, or Hillary Clinton may pick the next nominee. And so that's what we face in these elections.
And it's looking to be more than one Supreme Court justice nominee in the upcoming 4 years.
And Mundo, you're absolutely right, because many of these, not many, but several of these judges are over the age of the high 70s, early 80s, and they could retire. Some have had serious health problems. As we know, Justice Scalia, who was a hard-working judge, and many people back here thought he had a great deal of ability, he just dropped dead of a heart attack. So, I mean, you know, you never know what's going to happen, and that's why you need to elect somebody who's fit to be president of the United States and make these decisions that really impact people's daily lives.
You're listening to Voice of the Public on KRWG Las Cruces. We are taking your calls at 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. Also taking your social media questions on Facebook and Twitter. We have Dave, who has been holding for a while. Dave, good afternoon, and welcome to Voice of the Public.
Hello. Thanks for getting me on.
Hi, Dave. Sir, how are you today? Tom Udall.
Yes, I'm doing fine, and I want you to know you've always been easy for me to vote for.
Well, so thank you very much.
Do so.
Really,
and I appreciate
really.
Your stand on the TPP and many other things. Now, I got a question about the DNC, though.
Sure.
And I don't understand this necessity for the superdelegates, and it seems to go against the concept of democracy. It seems like, you know, you got a group of elitists that do hold a certain amount of power at the convention that no other party does. I think it just kind of looks bad for us. And I understand it came about in 82, and it was to keep people like McGovern and perhaps Teddy Kennedy from, you know, screwing up elections for us. But at this point, I really feel the DNC needs new leadership. We've been clobbered in 2010 and 2014 on, you know, in state legislatures. I'd like to see a little bit of a change there, and I wonder how you feel about it and what advice you might give on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I believe that it's our Democratic Party national rules that govern here, that govern how delegates are selected. I think for the party, and these are just rough numbers, but I think we have about 4,000 delegates, somewhere in that range, and about 700 of those, over 700, are what are called superdelegates. And who those are, and I know you know this, but I'm just trying to inform people as to what's happening. Many of those people are, first of all, the congressional delegation, the five of us in New Mexico are superdelegates. And then they've also included former party leaders and people like that. And so there are a significant number. If you take the 700 number out of more than 4,000 superdelegates. And I think the party is at the place they ought to reform this. I don't have any particular number I'm fighting for. I mean, I think this is more for these grassroots Democrats that turn out and they vote. I don't think it would bother me if we had no superdelegates, but I think what people should think about is kind of wanting the balance out there of all the experience within the Democratic Party to come to bear on who's our nominee. And do you want every single one of them to be directly elected? If you do, then you abolish superdelegates completely. Some people that I've talked to in the party say, well, maybe we should cut that 700 number in half. And maybe the only superdelegate should be just elected officials, not former elected officials. And so there's some good positions that can be taken there. I think it's up to the party as a whole to really address this. And in a sense, I don't have a fight in this. I'm not going there to say, you know, there have to be superdelegates. But I'm going to listen to everybody and see if we can work through this. My sense is Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are going to reach some kind of compromise on this issue. They're going to try to work things out, and my guess is there will be something in the party platform and in the party rules after we move through this convention that will address this whole issue. And I think I want everybody to know there's not going to be any doubt that that Bernie Sanders will endorse Hillary Clinton next week. It's just breaking news right now that he plans to endorse. And I would imagine that he's going to go to the convention. He's going to work with her on these kinds of issues, that all the Democrats there are going to work through this and come up with something that's good and solid on the superdelegates. And Bernie Sanders, I think, will try to rally the people. He had more than 10 million people that voted for him, and say, look, we have differences, but overall, if you add it up, I'm much closer to Hillary Clinton, and I don't want Donald Trump to be president. And so he's going to work hard, I think, in Senate races and House races, and for Hillary Clinton to be elected. And that's you're all listening to the breaking news right now that's just happening, is that Bernie Sanders announcing next week he will endorse Hillary Clinton and do everything that he can to help her get elected.
U.S. Senator Tom Udall is our special guest on this Voice of the Public. I'm at Mundo Resendez, 646-2212. If you have a question for Senator Udall, we've got less than 9 minutes to go. Let us go to our social media desk, where Simon Thompson has another question. Simon.
Over Twitter, Ron asks, free college proposals are great, but how can we get New Mexico education out of the bottom of the rankings first?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and we've been trying to come to grips with that in New Mexico for a long time. The first thing that we've done here at the federal level in a long time, you know, going back 10 years, we passed a federal law called Leave No Child Behind. That piece of legislation was very aggressively trying to bring all students forward and trying to measure progress. And the way they were measuring progress was through testing. And one of the things that was discovered is we did way too much testing. Parents thought there was too much testing. Teachers, administrators, principals, everybody said too much testing going on in accordance with that law. So we've now passed additional legislation at the federal level called Every Child Should Succeed, the ESSA. And that piece of legislation works with states so that states are much more in charge of the testing issue, and it encourages states, because sometimes they test for one particular reason or another reason, to consolidate the testing so it doesn't overwhelm the students. And the key really here is developing students that have critical thinking and that are going to be in the 21st century good workers and good citizens and be able to participate in our democracy. And I think we've got to invest in our children. I mean, that's one of the big issues here, is putting the resources forward. I've introduced a piece of federal legislation called the SONG Act, Save Our Next Generation, and I support the constitutional amendment to invest in early childhood education in New Mexico. I think it's time that we go into the rainy day fund and put some of that money into early childhood education. We've now known for years that you can make great, great progress on early childhood education. So those are some of the things that I've worked for, and I'm happy to hear from you on other things you want us to work on, too.
Okay, we've got one final call on the line. Lee, good afternoon. Welcome to Voice of the Public. You are on with U.S. Senator Tom Udall.
Okay, thank you. Tom, this is your long time ago, very long time ago, but very long time tennis partner, Lee.
Oh, Lee, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. How are you? You sound great.
Just great. Just great. Oh, thank you.
Okay, we've got less than 5 minutes to go, so what's the question?
Okay, fire away.
Okay, I'm just so happy with everything you said. I was going to ask questions about the election and all, and, man, you're very articulate about it, and I just am 100% behind you. That's all.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you. Well, that's very nice. I didn't pay him to do that.
Of course not.
Just
of course
joking
not.
There, just joking.
Well, Senator Udall, what project are you working on next after working on a bipartisan project regarding chemicals? What's next on your agenda that you want to tackle in the upcoming? I mean, we didn't even get to Zika. We didn't get to a lot of topics, but there's just so much going on.
I know. Well, you know, my plate is very full back here, and we work on a number of issues to just touch a few of them that are very important to me, and we've covered some of them in this telephone call. First of all, veterans. We have many, many returning veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq, and veterans who have fought in other wars, and New Mexico is a particularly patriotic state, and so every day they're at the top of my mind, and we're trying to work on all the issues that face them. There's a new program called the Choice Act that lets veterans get health care in the local community, and that isn't working very well. We're trying to work through the problems there. The education issue came up. That's something that's very important to me, and we're trying to work with all of our school districts. You know, we have 89 school districts in New Mexico, and those at the local level do incredible work in trying to help our students proceed. I'm working on many small business issues. We try to make sure that our small businesses in New Mexico can get the help they need. We have a small business program with one of the national laboratories. We have many small business incubators, small business assistance organizations. And then I really believe in growing jobs in New Mexico. One of the ways we do that is through technology transfer. We take these great ideas they have in our national labs and apply them out in the private sector and start companies and grow jobs. We just brought Secretary Ernie Moniz into New Mexico, and I talked to him about technology transfer and how he should make it a major mission there at the two national laboratories in New Mexico so that we grow more jobs. I'm also very interested in our border region. As you know, we have great opportunity to trade with Mexico.
Well, that's just it. I mean, there's just so much for us to talk about that we didn't get to. I mean, we're looking at, the debate on, that's brought up by Donald Trump regarding NAFTA, wanting to renegotiate NAFTA. But there's so many issues along the border that we definitely want to invite you to come back on to Voice of the Public and be our guest, because there's just so much to talk about.
Edmundo, wonderful to be with you and happy to come back on and visit with you. And just the two final issues is the ports of entry, which I've put some significant resources into. We've moved them from the federal level down to the local level. And agriculture, tremendously important in New Mexico, and we work hard on that.
Okay, Senator Udall, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to us on Voice of the Public. I take it you'll be in Philadelphia for the upcoming Democratic convention.
I sure will. I'll be back in Philadelphia, and we'll be working on that issue the gentleman raised about the superdelegates and making our party more responsive. Democrats don't ever want to be a party of the elites. We want to be a party of the people.
Well, Senator Udall, thank you very much for speaking with us on Voice of the Public on KRWG.
Edmundo, a pleasure to be with you on Voice of the Public. Cheers. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Good afternoon. You've been listening to Voice of the Public on KRWG Las Cruces and KRXG Silver City. I'm your host, Edmundo Resendez. If you have any suggestions for our future programs, please feel free to email your ideas to feedback@nmsu.edu. Again, your suggestions on future programs, feedback@nmsu.edu. We'd like to thank U.S. Senator Tom Udall for being our guest today on Voice of the Public. Fred Martino is content director for KRWG. Jacob Lockwood was at the controls. Samantha Sonner worked the phone lines and was our studio producer. And Simon Thompson handled the social media desk for Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM and KRWG.org. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next, we bring you Intermezzo with Leora Zeitlin on KRWG Las Cruces and KRXG Silver City. We'll be right back.